Okay, so today's Daf Chav Vav, we're on the bottom of Chav Hei Amud Beis. The case that they're discussing, the last case of the Mishnah had a case of where three Dayanim, I guess, saw the Levana. So the Mishnah said, that, okay, so what they do is the two of them stand up and be witnesses, and they, one guy stays sitting down, and they throw two other people to be the Beis Din. So what ends up happening is you have someone who's an aide, right? He's the aide, he actually saw it, and he becomes the Dayan. But so Gemara says, the Memra, does that come to teach us the aide Na'asa Dayan? That you can learn from here that someone who witnesses an act can also be a judge in that act. Something that we don't typically say. See, right? Rashi says, Misha ro'oi liyos eid bedavar nasadayin, the elu kulan ru'uyim liyos eidim. They're all able to be eidim in this case, because all three of them saw it. Shari kulam ra'u. The lema masnisin the loka Rabbi Akiva. Let's say that our Mishnah does not accord with the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who says, obviously, that ain eid nasadayin. The Tanya, we have a brisa. Sanhedrin. So you have a Sanhedrin. That doesn't always have to mean 71. Sanhedrin can also mean the 23. Someone who, a basin that can judge Dini Nefashos, which is the one of 23. Shero Echad Shaharag Es HaNefesh. Okay? So they all 23 of them saw or witnessed the murder. So the Mishnah, the Brisa there says, Miksasan Na'asu Edim. Two of them could get up and become Edim. Miksasan Na'asu Dayanim. And the rest of them could be Dayanim, Divi Rabbi Tarfon. Those are the words of Rabbi Tarfon. He says, Eid Na'asa Dayin. Rabbi Kiva Omer says, no, can't be that. Kulan Nasu Eidim. Once you witness an action, you can't judge that action. So they're all going to be considered Eidim. So therefore, they ain't Eid Na'asa Dayin. And then the Eid, a witness, cannot adjudicate that case. It must be in our Mishnah, which seems to indicate that, yes, Eid Na'asa Dayin does not accord with Rabbi Akiva. Whereas, no, a filu tami Rabbi Akiva. You can even say that our Mishnah accords Rabbi Kiva. Rabbi Kiva would oftentimes say Eid Na'asa Dayin. It's just that case in the Sanhedrin witnessing the murder is different. Rabbi Kiva, Ad Kan Lo Kam Rabbi Kiva Hasam. What does Rabbi Kiva say over there that someone who witnesses something can't judge it? Ela B'dinei Nefashos. That's only when it comes to Dinei Nefashos. Why? The Rachmana Amma, the Torah says, V'shaptu Aida, right? V'shaptu Aida, Ben Eibakir Be'Goldam, V'yitzilos Aida. That there's an idea that we're supposed to try to find a way out for the murderer, right? Kevin the Chazu the Katul Nafshe Lo Matzu Chazul Zuchusa. The whole point of Basin is supposed to try to figure out a way to get the guy off from the death penalty. But if they all witnessed the murder, none of them are going to even find a sad tzchus for him. That is impossible. They saw it happen. They're not going to find a sad tzchus, but it would violate this idea of v'shaftu eidu v'yitzilos eidu. Kevin the Chazu the Katul Nafshe. Since they saw him kill somebody, lo matzu chaz zechusa, they will never find for him a zechus. Aval hacha, but here by kiddush hakodesh, we don't have the svara of the b'shaptu the hitzilu. So I feel Rabbi Kiva modeh. Rabbi Kiva would agree that you could do eid nasa dayan. When does it say eid nasa dayan? That's only by the murder case, because by the murder case you need this idea of hitzilu as eida, and that's impossible if they're the ones who actually witnessed it. But normally, in case we don't have this issue of Yitzilu Seida, he would agree that Eid Na'asa Dayim, and therefore our Mishnah could be in accordance with his Shita. Okay, next Mishnah. Now we begin Maseches Rosh Hashanah, as we know it, for Rosh Hashanah. We have time to go to learn about the shofar a little bit, so we'll learn a little bit about the shofar. We'll have some interesting agata as well. So the Mishnah says, Kol HaShofros, all shofros, all shofros, horns, whatever, not actually put them horn, all shofros, which means these horns that are hollow on the inside, whether they're from a behema, whether they're from a chaya, they're ksherim. They're all kosher to be used on Rosh Hashanah. Chutz, except me, from the horn, shel para, except from the one that comes from the cow or the ox, mipnei who keren, because that's not called the shofar, that's called a keren. That's called a, I don't know how it differentiates the article between shofar and keren. Maybe it's called a shofar and horn?
They call it a keren.
Shofar and keren, okay. It's just called a Karen. All right, in Lashon HaKodesh, it's called a Karen, not a shofar. And the key of shofar, Rosh Hashanah, you need a shofar. Specifically, you need a shofar. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? V'halo, kol shofros nikro Karen. No, anything that's a shofar is also called a Karen. Right? They're all it's all one and the same. Shinemar, Pasuk says, this is when Yoshua is conquering Yericho, and he's walking around the city seven times. Right, so on the seventh day of the encircling the city, it says v'haya b'mshoch v'keren hayovel. Right, so k'mashem is kolash, and then it says k'shamachem is kolash shofar yiriyo kolam shua. So it says a keren hayovel. So the Gemara is assumed that the yovel is an ayel, it's a ram. and it's calling it a keren, and then it calls it, it's called a shofar. So it's used interchangeably in the pasuk, both keren, both shofar. So therefore, a keren is a shofar is a keren. Why should it make a difference that the cow, about the cow or not? It's all, even though it's a keren, it's also a shofar. So therefore, Rabbi Yossi says that it will be kosher as well. And the Gemara says, shofar ka'amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi makes sense. He gave a good answer to the Chachamim. Since we see that a shofar that's made from an ayil, because we assumed that we're going to learn that in the Gemara, shortly that when it says hayovel means the ayil, it's called a keren and it's called a shofar. Right? Since we see that the shofar called from an ayil is also called a keren, so why would you passel the keren of a para? It's the same thing. The Gemara says Rabbanan, Rabbanan will say no. It's different. Kol shofros, anything in the sugya of shofar except for kol shofros ikru shofar ikru keren. There are things that anything that's a shofar is called a shofar. It's called a keren. But the para keren ikri shofar ikri. But what's from the para, that's a keren. That's never called a shofar. So you're right. Shofar is something that's called keren. But a keren is not always called a shofar. And the para is a keren. And it's not called a shofar. So therefore, it shouldn't be good, right? The para keren ikri shofar lo ikri. The ksiv. We see this is in Zos Habracha. It says, Bechor Shoro, we're talking about the shor Hagalo, Vikarnei Reim. So the shofar, the shor, is called a Karen. Karen Reim Karnav. So we see that a Karen of a Para is called a Karen, but it's not called a shofar. So therefore, it's not a kosher for Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Yossi, so how is Rabbi Yossi going to answer that? Rabbi Yossi Amalach, he'll say to you, the Paranami for shofar. The horn of the para is also called a shofar sometimes. Diksiv, so this is a pasuk in Tehillim. So this pasuk says that Hashem is promising Bnei Yisrael that He'll save them from their who's being chased. It says, "Vateitav la Hashem, it'll be better to Hashem." they're crying mishor par, right? So the Gemara says, "What's going on? Shor par." Shor par is the same thing. A shor is a par is shor. It's redundant in the pasuk. In shor lama par, the impar lama shor. So ella ma shor par. Put the words together. Shor par, shofar. Right. So he says that their tefillah will be better from a shofar. So in other words, their tefillahs at that time will be served them better than the shofar in Rosh Hashanah. But you see that it's calling a shofar, and it's using shor and par to create the word shofar. So you see that par is also called shofar. So Rav Yossi says, even according to you, it should be kosher on Rosh Hashanah, because you said, Karen, the horn of the cow is never called shofar. This pasuk indicates that shor par is called shofar. So we're going to say no, because we're going to say shor par there doesn't mean shofar. Right? The difference is between a shor and a par is that, I think that a shor is what it's called from when it's born till 3 years old, and at 3 years old it becomes a par. Okay, so the Gemara says, for Rabbanan, how are they going to reject this proof of Rabbi Yossi to say that the horn of a shor of a par is not called a shofar? They're going to say, kid the Rav Masna. The Rav Masna, my shor par, what a shor par means, there was once in history where there was an animal that was a shor and a par at the same time. Meaning it was born and became a par right away. That's the animal of creation. Right? We say when things were created, they were created in their mature state. So it was one day old, so it was a shor. But it was already mature, so it was a par at the same time. It was a shor par. So that's the shor of Adam that he used as a karbon. So the Gemara is saying in this, what the pasuk is saying is that your tefillos at that time are going to be greater to Hashem than the shor par that was offered by Adam. It has nothing to do with shofar. He says, "Kidrav Masna, the Amar Rav Masna, my shor par." What does it mean, a shor par? Shehu gadol kipar. It's the shor that it was as great, that it was as large as the par. Which one is that? That was the one that was. That was existed at creation. Okay, so that's the first answer before the Rabbanan as to why the horn of a par is no good for Rosh Hashanah is because it's not called a shofar. The horn of a par is only called a karen. Ula Amar gives a different reason. I think this is the reason I'm more of us are familiar with. Hainu time of the Rabbanan. What's the reason why the Rabbanan passel the karen of a para for tekiyas Rosh Hashanah? Is kederav chizda, like Rav Chizda said. For a different din, Amar Rav Chizda, "Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas bebigdei zahav." Why does the kohen gadol not wear the golden vestments, the golden clothing in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur? Why is it "Mipnei ma ein kohen gadol nichnas bebigdei zahav lifnai v'lifnim lavod avoda to do the avoda"? Rather, he changes into the white clothing Lefi she'in kategor na'aseh sanigor. You can't have the prosecutor become the defendant. So the prosecutor here is the gold. We don't want to mention the golden calf. We don't want to mention the gold on the big deguna when he's coming to do kapara. Right? In kategor. So the Gemara says the low. Really? That's a problem. Is a problem is we don't want to remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Egel Hazav. That's why he doesn't wear gold. Well, we walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with the dam of a par, right? It's a dam of a par that comes in there, so we're doing stuff from a par. The Gemara says, right, below v'ha'ika dam par, that goes l'fnayu l'fnim, and you sprinkle in with Nea Kaporis. So you see kategor nasa kanegor, you see kategor nasa sanegor. The Gemara says, ho'av ishtani ishtani. No, that's different. That's not the actual cow. It's the blood. It's something different. It changed from its original form. First it was a cow, now it's just blood. So that's not going to be considered kategor nasa sanegor. The Gemara says, okay, fine. Va'ika aron v'kaporos u'kruv. Well, wait a second. The entire year, the aron, the kaporos, the kruv, they're in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and they are made out of gold, and they're sitting in Kodesh HaKadoshim, so you have gold sitting in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're telling me in kategor nasa sanegor that the Kohen Gadol can't wear golden clothing into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. There's gold there all the time. So the Gemara says, no. Chote bal yakir ka'inan. We're talking about the person. An individual himself, he cannot be adorned with the Maisa Egel to walk in. Because he's the one who's looking for kapara. So he can't wear, it makes sense, he can't wear something gold. Other gold in there, that's fine. But it's the person who's looking for Hashem to respond to his prayer, he should be going in with the gold. Gemara says, well, he does go in with the gold on Kodesh HaKadoshim. He walks in with the kaf and the machta. He's holding the ladle, he's holding the pan, he's walking in with, and those are made out of gold. But he's walking in the Kodesh HaKadoshim to do ritzoy with the kaf, which has the katoris, with the machta, which has the coals on it. They're both made of zahav. The Gemara says, chote bal yisna'ek ka'aminan. So I don't know how to read this, but I think Rashi says, bal yisna'min, it's talking about the person walking in with the gold that's on him. It's something that his body benefits from, right? Which would be clothing. Holding something heavy walking out is not necessarily, his body is not necessarily getting benefit of. It's like, it's just carrying something. That is not going to be the kalim, which are not part of the big day adam. That's not going to fall into the category of being a kategor nasa sanegor. So Gemara says, okay, but ika big day zav mibachutz. But on Yom Kippur, he's wearing the big day zav outside, right? It's also a whole day of kapara, a whole day he's looking for ritzoy, and he's wearing golden clothing outside. The Gemara says, yeah, mibifnim kamiyan. The chash of kategor nasa sanegor only applies to avoda inside, which is in Kodesh HaKadoshim. Because that's where the Shrash Hashchina is. That's the main point. That's the main place of Ritzoy Kapara. But the Avodah out, and that's also the Avodah that's special for Yom Kippur. But stuff that's done outside, okay, so he wears the gold. That's not a problem with Kategor Nasa Senegor. Really? So if that's the case, that we're not concerned about Kategor Nasa Senegor, so what are we concerned about the shofar? Shofar Namin Bukhutsu. The shofar is also only blown outside. It's not blown inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You just said the whole problem of Kategor Nasa Sanegor is only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. But outside, the Kohen Gadol can wear gold. So outside, let the shofar be blown. And you can have blow the shofar even with a horn of a para. It's not an issue of Kategor Nasa Sanegor because it's not inside. It's outside. The Gemara says, and there's a lot of shiurim on this, Kevon de Lezikarim Hu. Once the shofar becomes Lezikarim, see what that means. It's as if it's inside. The shofar, this is one of Rabbi Raza's famous big shiurim, the shofar is considered like a tefillah. A shofar goes like, it's as if you enter the lufnai lufnim. It's as an as-if thing. Rashi says, towards the bottom of Rashi, Kevin lezikaron kai ka'ostik lufnim dami, shofar nami, afal gav de les be mishum chote bal yakre, ve les be mishum chote bal yisnara, Kevin lezikaron ka'ostik kibig de koen kadol shu lufnim dami. It's this idea that it's the shofar is what creates kapara. It brings you to do tshuva, right? Uru yisheinim yisheinoschem. It's supposed to awaken you from your slumber. It's supposed to awaken you up from your sins. So that is considered something that is kilifnai lufnim. It penetrates the innermost recesses of either of your heart, and therefore it has the idea of penetrating the innermost recesses of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, and it's considered kilifnim dami. Therefore, even though you're blowing it outside, it still has a problem of kategor nasa sanegor. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second. His ula just said the reason here why the Chacham said you can't use the horn of a par is because of kategor nasa sanegor. But the Mishnah gave a specific reason. The Mishnah said explicitly why you can't do it, right? The Mishnah said because it is chutz shaparim neishu karen. It says the reason why you can't use the horn of a cow is because it's a karen, not because it's katei gonasa sadegor. So Gemara says, yeah, nechanami. Right, but hatalev neishu karen ka'amar? He said, yeah, chadav o ka'amar. It's both. It's one plus. There are two reasons. One reason is the ain katei gonasa sadegor. That's a simple reason. But oh, bebeishu karen. And even more, let's say you say, the shofar is outside. Okay, still, it's still not considered good because it is karen and not shofar. Rabbi Yossi Amalach, and Rabbi Yossi will say to you, Dikka amart ein kategor nasa sanegor, when you said this idea that the prosecutor can't become the defense attorney, hani mi with him. That's only something that's literally done inside. Don't give me this nice feeling shot about, blow shofar, the zikara, with nimdami. Where is it done? It's not outside. It's not inside. So it's not, it doesn't have a problem. Af kategor nasa sanegor. By shofar yuchutsu, what the Mishnah says because it's a Karen, it's not shofar. No, I showed to you before that kol shofar is not equal Karen. All shofars are also considered a Karen. Avayik is a third reason why the Rabbanon say you can't use the horn of a para. Avayik amar haynu time of the Rabbanon. Shofar echad amar achmana v'lo shnayim u'shlosha shofros. The pasuk says, v'havarta shofar trua. Shofar is lashon yachid. Right? And he says, not two or three shofros. So had the para, he says, the Karen of the Para, Kevin Dekai Glidi Glidi. Like every year, Metze Kishnayim Ushlosha Shofaros. Every year, apparently, it grows some sort of film around it, or it grows, I'm not sure, and it ends up looking like two or three. It's not flat anymore, it's not smooth. It has additional growth around it, so it looks like two or three shofaros. It doesn't look like one. That's why it's not going to be considered a shofar. The Gemara says, "Hatan of Neishu Karen Kamar." Again, the Gemara asks, but the Mishnah gave us a reason because it's not called Karen, because it's not called Shofar, it's called Karen. Well, again, the Gemara says, "Chad of Ud Kamar." One plus another reason: Chad of the Shofar Echad Amar Rachmanu Goshlaim Mishlosha Shofros. Oh, Neishu Karen. And another reason that the Mishnah says because it's not called a Shofar, it's called a Karen. And Rabbi Yossi will reject this and say, "Kidek Kamar Shofar Echad Amar Rachmanu Goshlaim Mishlosha Shofros." Came in the Mechavri Ahadadi Chadu. Okay, so it's growing this extra layers. Still one, can't separate them. It may look like multiple, but physically it's all one. It's not multiple. And two, but the Kamar, Peshu Karen, you would pray that it's called a Karen, it's not called a Shofar. Called Shofar is not a Karen. Like you said in the Mishnah, I get brought to that proof that you rejected, but not for me. It's a proof that all Shofaros are also called Karen. Okay. So before, we took it for granted, we said that according to Rabbi Yossi, all the Shofaros are called a Karen. He brought it from a pasuk that says "Bimshoch b'keren hayovel." Right, the pasuk said, "What was the full pasuk?" He said "Bimshoch b'keren hayovel," and we said "keren," and we said the word "yovel" meant an ayel, it meant the ram. So he's calling the horn of the ayel a keren, and then the pasuk says "Kol shofar," is calling it a shofar. So you see that "Hayu keren hayin shofar." But the idea was, how do you know that the word yovel meant an ayel, meant a ram? So my mashnama, the high yovla, lishna the dichrohu. How do we know that the word karen ayovel is talking about the karen of an ayel? The tanya, because we have a braisa, amar bekiva, kishalachti le'arbiya, if I went to Arabia, how you call the dichra yovla. It's a good idea to know languages. He said they call the ayel a yovla. That's why I know that's what that pasuk means. So now the Gemara is going to bring the other cases of where Rabbi Kiva learned the definition of words based on his travels and hearing them say explain what that word meant in different places. Remember Rabbi Kiva, similar to Rabbi Kiva, he learns the word about that word you have about tefillin from totafos. He put the two words together, totafos, same idea of Amr Rabbi Kiva, kishalachti legalia. Remember that Gaul? I don't know. Kishalachti legalia, hayukorin linida galmuda. They would call a woman who's in status of nida a galmuda. My galmuda, what does the word galmuda mean? How does that define to be a nida? The Gemara says, galmuda is like a Russian, it's an anagram for gemula dami baila. She is separated from her husband. So nida is galmuda. Vamra bikiva, kishalati la afrike, I just went to Africa, hayukorim lema'a kishita. The coin that we call the ma'a, they would call it a kishita. So lamai nafkamina, how does that help us? Is lipurushe, right, to explain to us, Mea kshita de oraita. right? The word made chitah is when Yaakov comes to Shechem and he buys Shechem. He says he bought it. He says he bought it with made chitah. So it comes to teach us made a donkey. He bought it with 100 mals. Now we know what the definition of the word means. You can do your Shnai Mikra because now you know what the pasuk means. Amar Rabbi. Rabbi says also, Kishalachti lekarke hayam. I went to this place, karke hayam. Hayukorin lemechira kira. They will call a transaction or a sale kira. Lemay naf kamila. Also, what's the practical lesson we learn from that? Also, lefrushi, to explain the pasuk. This is a pasuk when Yaakov is commanding to Yosef that he should bring him back to Maris HaMakpelah to be buried. The pasuk says, "Bikivri asher karasi li," in the kever that was karasi li. Karasi usually means digs, but now we know that the kira also means mechira. So it means you should bury me in the cave that was purchased on my behalf. Well, Avraham Avinu purchased it. So that's why you know. So that's what that teaches us, that the word kira means mechira. Amr Shimon ben Lakish. Shimon ben Lakish says, "Kishalati lischum to the border of Cain Nishraya, hayukorim bekala ninfe." They would call a kala, a beautiful bride, they would call her ninfe, or a tarnagol, and they would call her chicken or a rooster sechri. Okay, we know what that means because that's our bracha, not sechri vina. Right. So the Gemara says, kala ninfe mikra. What is the pasuk where it's hinted to that nof is the name of a kala? He quotes the pasuk in Tilim Memches. It's talking about Yerushalayim, where it had the Shechina in Yerushalayim. It says, Yefei nof, Misos kol aretz, Har Tzion, Yarkitei Tzafon, I think it's a Shalshala song, right? That it's the beautiful of Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim is the Kala. Just like Yerushalayim has the beauty, so too a Kala is going to be beautiful, and therefore a Kala is called Nof, or Ninfe. Fine. Ulutarnagol Sechvi, and how they call it Tarnagol Sechvi, Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, Vivaisim Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Mikra, what pasuk indicates to us that the Tarnagol is a Sechvi? So the Gemara answered, is a pasuk in Eov that says, Hashem extolling his greatness. Mi shat batuchos chachma. Right, I'm involved in all chachma. O mi natan lesechvi bina. Or who gave to the sechvi this understanding? Mi shat batuchos chachma. What is that referring to? Elu kloyos. That's discussing the kidneys. Right, the times of the Gemara, they felt that bina that came, the chachma came from the kidneys. That was the area that had kidneys. Now our kidneys do other things, but that's what they thought, that the kidneys gave off chachma. And oh, me not on sechvi bina zetarnagol. That's the tarnagol. He has the understanding. He can make the distinction between day and night. That's when the rooster crows. The rooster makes the noise in the morning to make them. That's why we say in the bracha, "Shana tana sechvi bina lahafim ben yom uvein laila." Okay. Now the Gemara is going to continue explaining words that have a source in Lashon HaKodesh, but people didn't know what the words meant. I guess Aramaic became so prevalent at the time, there were certain words that lost the meaning, and they were able to figure out the meanings from other people. Levi ikla luhu asra. Levi went to a certain place. Asa gavri kamei. A man came before him. Amrale, and says this man to Levi, kavan plania. So and so was kavan me. And Levi had no idea what he was talking about. Lo havayada mak amrale. Levi didn't know what the person meant, what he was saying to him. So asa shalde midrasha. So he went to the base medrash and asked, what does that word mean? They said to him, Amrule Gazan Amrla. He said, this person was telling you that so-and-so robbed him. That's he was a victim of a robbery. Diksiv, and Pasuk, how do we know that? It's the Pasuk in Malachi. It talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu was given to Kochacha, to Bnei Yisrael, that they didn't give Trumos and Maisros. So they basically stole from the Kohan and Levium. It says, Hayikaba Adam Elokim. Can a person be kabab from God? Can a person steal from Hashem? Right, so you see from there that's what the word means. Why Levi didn't know it, I don't know. Why Levi didn't know it, and they did know. Okay, so Amale Rava mi Barnish l'Rav Ashi. Rava from Barnish says to Rav Ashi, "I have hasam. If I was there, If I was there, I would have said I wouldn't have gone to the base medrash. I would have figured out what this guy meant on my own. Why? Because I would have said, have imel hechi kavach. How was he kova you? But my kavach, with what was he cover you? But my kavach, why did he do this? I would have started asking some leading questions, and based on his answers, I would have figured out what actually happened. Umimela habayada. The Eus suffer, so why didn't Levi do that? The Eus suffer, milsa di sur karmale. Levi thought that maybe the word that he was using was an inappropriate word. So he didn't want to keep asking questions about that inappropriate word, and keep saying it, I guess, because something was inappropriate. So he said, better safe than sorry, than to use this word. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to bring more about words that were not understood, right? Gemara's about words were not understood, and it's going to bring the Maisim from the Shifcha of Rebbe. The Shifcha of Rebbe is the one who actually, you know, kept him alive beyond his time. The Shifcha of Rebbe, who I guess somehow she knew the meaning of these words, maybe because she was in the house of Rebbe and she heard the words being used more often than others. Other people didn't know what these words meant. She knew what these words meant, and based on conversations that she had, they were able to understand what these words were. So, lo have yadei rabbanon mai sirugin. The Talmidim Rabbeinu Rebbe didn't know what the word sirugin meant, which is mentioned in the Mishnah Megillah, that you're not allowed to read the Megillah sirugin, which means like out of order. Right? You're not allowed to do sirugin. So, shamu la'amta debei Rebbe, they heard the shifcha of Rebbe, de chazasinu rabbanon tave ale psike piske. She saw the Talmidim of Rebbe coming into the Beis Medrash in groups, in different groups. And Amr Lahu, and she said to them, Ad Masai, until when? Atem Nichnasim, Sirugin, Sirugin. Why don't you all come in at one time? Why are you all guys coming in taking piecemeal? So they went, oh, so that's what Sirugin, Sirugin means. It means little groups, little chopped up into pieces. They understood that Sirugin is something that has breaks, not straight through. So therefore, they understood that by Kriyas Megillah, that you have to read the Megillah. It means Sirugin, Sirugin means reading it in different pieces with breaks in between. Okay. Lo have yodei rabbanon mai chalug logos. They didn't know there was some sort of vegetable called the chalug logos, and they didn't know what it meant. They didn't know what it was. So yom achad shamu la'amta de Rebbe. So they heard the maidservant of Rebbe saying to, I guess, the chazis lahu gavra de kamibader par pichine. They saw this person who was spreading out this vegetable that they knew was the par pichine, and Amr Allah, and she said to them, ad masaya tamifazer chalug logos. Chalug logecha. Until when are you going to be spreading out your chalug lecha? So they understood that chalug lecha is the par pichine, whatever that is, and therefore they understood what this. And they knew what that word was. So lo havu yodei mai salsileha v'tiromecha. They didn't know what the word silsul meant. Tiromecha means to raise up. Right? This is the pasuk we're talking about, the milos of Torah. It's a pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Dalid. It says salsileha u'tiromecha tichabetcha ki tichabkena. So they didn't know what the word salsaleh means. So we know what it means because we know from Rashi with Yosef. It was misalsal to say erav. Right? So now we know how they got the meaning from. Yom echad shamu la'amta debei Rebbe. They heard the maid of Rebbe. Dehave amra lahu gavra dehave kimahapech b'sa'arei. She said to this one person who was twirling or twisting his hair, amra la ad masai atam b'salsal b'sa'arecha. Until when are you why are you doing this? When are you going to stop twisting your hair? So they knew that sul is like a twisting, or sul is like, yeah, it's like a twist, something that's a twist. So that's, I guess, the pasuk means that someone twists and learns Torah, and then he's going to love it and hold on to it. So that's why she was noticed, and then he'll be zocha to be teromeim to get kavod. So they learned the word sul from her as well. Another word. Lo have a yodei rabbanan mai v'tei-tei-siha b'matatei hashmeid. They didn't know what that word tiatua means. This is talking about the Chorban of Bavel, it's in Yishayahu, right? The Pasuk says, this samtiya l'moresh kipod v'agmei mayim v'tatiha b'matatei hashmeid. You know what that word meant? So he says, yom achad shamul am tebei Rebbe, dehave amal l'chavertei, she was saying to her friend, another shif, I guess, Shekule tate besai. Is it go take a broom and sweep the floor? So they learned that it means that tatua means like sweeping and cleaning the house. So the pasuk is taking that one day a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to clean out the bavel, I guess, from here, and they won't be anything left of them. So they learned that tatua that means to sweep or to clean. Lo haba yadei rabbanon. The rabbanon didn't know. What the parish of this pasuk was, the pasuk of Hashlich al Hashem Yehebcha, the Hu Yikal Kalecha. Throw upon Hashem your Yahavcha, and he'll provide sustenance to you. So they didn't know what the word Yahavcha means. So Amar Rav Barachana, I didn't know what that meant. So Yom Echad Havei Azlina Bahadei Ahu Tayyah. One day I was with this Arab merchant, Havei Darina Tuna, and I was carrying a burden on my shoulder. But Amar Li, and this Arab said to me, Shkol Yahaveich b'shode egleimei. Take your Yahaveich, take your burden, and toss it onto the camel. So they now know the word Yahaveich is a burden. That's what the pasuk is saying. throw your burdens on Hashem, put all your faith in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, v'hu yikal kalecha, and He will provide you with sustenance. Okay, so we finished that sugya about the words, about the etymology of certain words. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to go now to talk about which shofar is best to be used. We just said in the previous Mishnah that all shofros are kosher according to Rabbi Yossi, all shofros except for the keren of a par, a kosher for the Chachamim. Shofar shall Rosh Hashanah, so the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, see Rashi says here, shofar Rosh Hashanah shall Ya'al Pashat, should be like a straight Ya'al. Seems to be like some say it's an ibex. Right, Rashi says that it's one of those straight horns that you have. Right, so shofar Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash, it seems to indicate, shall Ya'al Pashat, it should be straight, it should not be curved. The piv mitzupa zahav, and its mouth, the mouthpiece was a little piece of gold put on the outside. Ushtei chatzrotzros min hatzadim. So when you're blowing shofar in the Beis HaMikdash, this may not necessarily be for Rosh Hashanah in the Beis HaMikdash, maybe the idea of blowing shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. You also have these two man-made trumpets on its side. Shofar ma'arich, the shofar has an extended blow. V'chatzotros mikatzros, and there is shortened. She mitzvah hayom b'shofar. Maybe it is Rosh Hashanah, because in the midst of the day is the shofar. So you have this special, in the Beis HaMikdash, you have the long shofar that has this little thing of gold on it, which is interesting because we just said, in Kategor Nasa Sanegor, and it's blown together with the man-made trumpets, and the sounding of the shofar is supposed to last longer than the sounding of those chatzrotzros. Ubita'anios, when else do we blow shofar? We also blow shofar when there's a tainus. So when there's a fast, they would blow shofar. There was no rain or other tzaros. They would blow shofar in the Beis HaMikdash. That is Bishel Zecharim. That's what they use the shofar of the Zecharim, which is somewhere the Elim, which were the rams, which are Kfupim, which are bent. Those are bent, I guess, because now you're praying, you're davening. So therefore, Upiyam Mitzupa Kesef, and it's a little lower, it's just the mouthpiece has a little silver on it. Shtei Chatzotzos Be'emsa, and you have the two man-made trumpets in the middle, and the shofars on the side. Shofar Mekatzer V'Chatzotzos Marichos. The shofar is the shorter sound, the Chatzotzos is the longer sound, because Shemitzos Hayom V'Chatzotzos, because the mitzvah of that day is the chatzotzos, because you want to blow these chatzotzos to get everybody to get together and to daven. I was thinking that maybe that the issue is because if you do, a shofar is naturally made. A chatzotzos are man-made. So in the Tanios, something's going wrong. Right? There's no rain. There's not something that's going wrong. It's a man-made issue. Right? We did something wrong. So maybe that's why, and little Jewish, maybe that's why the chatzotzos are the main part of the day, because you have to awaken, use the man-made item to awaken that this is a man-made crisis. Right? That's the thought. I don't know. Okay. V'chatzrotzos. Yes. Now, Shaveh Hayovel Rosh Hashanah. The Tanakhama here says that when you blow shofar on Yom Kippur of Yovel, right? One of the reasons why we blow shofar at the end of every Yom Kippur, because maybe it's the end of Yovel. The idea is that you blew the shofar on the end of Yom Kippur of Yovel. The same halachas that apply in Rosh Hashanah apply to the Yovel, which would mean you would have this shofar pashat, the non-bent shofar, right? V'lib brachos. And also, in Musaf of Yom Kippur of Yovel, you would also say, Malchios, Ephronos, and Shofros, you would say the extra brachos. Rabbi Yehuda, that's Tanakam. Rabbi Yehuda says no. But Rosh Hashanah, Toki, B'Shal Zecharin. When it comes to Rosh Hashanah, we blow a bent shofar, which is what we do. You blow the bent shofar, Ubi Yovlos, but in Yovlos, you blow Shal Ye'elim. You blow the long shofar, you don't blow the bent shofar. So, Amar Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, Mitzvah Shal Rosh Hashanah, B'Shal Yom Kippurim, B'Kefufim. He says, no. On Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel, Yom Kippur of Yovel, you blow the bent shofar, Bishal Kol Hashanah, but on the Tanios, the rest of the year, Bipshutim, you blow the long shofar. You use the long shofar, which I've seen those Ibex shofars, they're really pretty, right? Bipshutim. Behatznan Ay, but doesn't our Mishnah say, Shofar Shal Rosh Hashanah Shal Ya'al, which is Pashut, and he says that it's going to be bent. Our Mishnah says it's supposed to be straight. Who the Amr Kaitaina? Rabbi Levi holds like Rabbi Yehuda in the Brisa that says the Tanya Rabbi Yudomer, for Rosh Hashanah you talking Mishal Zecharim Kefufim Ubi Yovlo Mishal Ye'elim. Rabbi Yehuda says in Rosh Hashanah you blow the bent and in Yovel you blow the straight. The Lame Hilchak Rabbi Yehuda. Why does he just say the Lachzak Rabbi Yehuda? Because he's not saying the Lachzak Rabbi Yehuda. Because he's only saying the Lachzak Rabbi Yehuda regarding the Rosh Hashanah. But he's saying Rosh Hashanah is bent and Yovel is bent. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said Rosh Hashanah is bent and Yovel is straight. So he can't say Hilchos like Rabbi Yehuda. He just say that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda in this case. Right? E Amar Hilchos like Rabbi Yehuda. Have Mina Filu Shal Yovel Namik Rabbi Yehuda Sfilei. Kamash Malan. He only holds like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, not like Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to Yovel. So therefore, Levi is saying that in Rosh Hashanah and on Yovel, you blow the bent shofar. So we seem to paskin like those who hold that you blow the bent shofar on Rosh Hashanah. How we paskin about Yovel and how we paskin about on the fast days, I don't know, because we don't have Yovel and we don't have these Taniyos anymore. Okay. So now the Gemara says, but Maika Miflugi, what is the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda about which shofar we should blow on Rosh Hashanah? Mar Savar, Rabbi Yehuda says, the Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, which is Yom Hadin, we have to be humble. So we have to be bent. Machlokes Rishonah, whether it's physically we should be bent over, or it means our mindset should be that we're bent over. So there are those who have the minhag to daven the entire tefillah of Rosh Hashanah in a bent position. He says, "Sabah Rosh Hashanah kama dekayif in sheidaite semi'ili." So right, the Gemara here says in sheidaite, his mind has to be sort of bent and subservient. So therefore, we use the bent shofar. Rashi does not have the girsa of daite. He says kama dekayif inish. So that's a machlokas of whether it's a physical posture or an emotional posture. Right, but tefei ma'al will be Yom Kippurim. But when the Yom Kippur on Yovel Yom Kippur, where it's not coming for the actual day, right? It's just the mitzvah of the Yovel, kama the pashut inish daite tefei ma'ale. As long as you stand straight, person stands straight, because that's Yom Kippur on Yovel, that's when the slaves go free, so it's jubilee, it's all about freedom, so you stand straight, the more you stand straight, that exhibits a sense of freedom. So that's Rabbi Yehuda. Umar Savar, the Tanakama, who says on Rosh Hashanah it's straight, and on Yom Kippur, and on Yovel it's bent. Umar Savar, Tanakama says, Barosh Hashanah, which is Yom Hadin, you're supposed to straighten yourself up. He's supposed to do everything, Yom HaDin, everything, that means he's supposed to do everything with straight and narrow. So your mindset should be straight. Marsha Rosh Hashanah, Kama the Pashat Inish, Daite Tfei Ma'ale, that's better. With Taniyos, when it comes to the fast days, where he's supposed to be doing tshuva and focusing on all the bad deeds, because that's why this evil has come upon us, Kama the Kaiv Inche, Daite Tfei Ma'ale. The more he's bent, the more his mindset or the more his posture is bent, that is better. Okay, stop here, pick up tomorrow on Club Zion.